Now, this evening, I want to try to look at a portion of Psalm 135. And this, I confess to you, is one of my favorite outlines. I've preached from this text several times. Several times in several different places here and other places. But whatsoever the Lord please, that's what He does. Now the question is, what does it please the Lord to do? Well, the Word of God gives us the answer. Whatever He does right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Whatsoever the Lord please. Now, I want us to consider from the Scripture this evening what the Lord our God is pleased to do in His sovereign will, sovereign purpose in heaven and in earth. He says He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay His hand, and no one can say unto Him, Lord God Almighty, what doest Thou? Now, this Psalm 135 is a whole lot like Psalm 115, where the Lord draws a very sharp contrast between a true and living God who works all things after the counsel of His own will and the mere idols of men. He kind of mocks the idols of men, doesn't He? They have hands, they can't use them. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have ears, they cannot hear. They have eyes, but they cannot see. The Lord our God mocks them, doesn't He? Because He is the true and living God. And there is a great contrast between the gods, small g, and the idols of men, and between the true and living God. Now, have you noticed in Scripture how the Lord often makes a contrast between that which is true, right, and great, and He contrasts that between that which is false. And that's what He does in this psalm and in Psalm 115. To be occupied with right thoughts about God. Right thoughts about God. We don't think right thoughts about God left to ourselves. We ought to think right thoughts about God as He is revealed in the Word of God, in Holy Scripture. And to be occupied with right thoughts about God, as He's revealed in the Word of the Lord, will increase our faith and encourage our hope, inspire our love for Him. The way to have strong and true faith is to trust the Almighty God. Now, the way to have strong faith is to trust Him who is Almighty. You see, it's faith in Him. It's not faith in our faith. It's not strength in our faith. Our strength is in Him, and faith looks to Him alone for all of salvation. And saving faith gives God all the honor and glory. You remember Abraham was strong in faith. How we know that? Giving God all the honor and glory, being persuaded that all that God has said, promised, He will perform. Now, notice verse 1 and 2, and we'll work our way down to verse 6 in Psalm 135. We read this familiar statement, praise ye the Lord. And it's all the way through the Psalms. It'd be interesting how many times it's used in the book of Psalms, but it's used repeatedly, over and over and over again. Even in the last psalm, the last verse, Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise has a whole lot to do with worship. When we praise the Lord, we are worshiping Him. Believers and servants of the Lord are told to honor Him, praise Him, and this is their desire and delight, is it not? To honor the Lord, to praise the Lord, to lift Him up in preaching and singing and praying, and to honor Him by believing Him and to glory only in Him. And that phrase is repeated over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. And then another phrase that He uses, and He uses it in this psalm, where He says, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Verse 21. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion. Reminds me of what David says in Psalm 103. Blessed be the Lord our God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So we believers delight to praise ye the Lord, ye servants of the Lord, as it says in verse 1. It's not a burden, is it? To praise someone you love, to bless someone you love, to honor someone you love. You cannot overdo this. Now, this is not talking about that religious nonsense that's going on where people, always in a public way, they do this, where they wave their hands and give the Lord a wave offering and praise the Lord and all this silliness that goes on in religious circles. This is talking about God looking on the heart. This is the Lord looketh on the heart. Men look on the outward. God looks on the heart. This is praising the Lord in the heart. In your heart, in your mind, in your will. And you can't overdo this. You can't give Him too much honor, can you? You can't bless His name too much. You can't worship the Lord too highly. You can't glory in Him too often. Paul said, God forbid that we should glory, save, or except in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to praise the Lord. In the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, he says in verse 2, when we come to the worship service, we're to praise the Lord. But not just when we meet together, but every day is the day that we should praise the Lord. When we go to sleep at night, thank you, Lord. When we get up in the morning, thank you, Lord. When you take that, open up your eyes and you just kind of trying to get a little bit of sense about you, just praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, in verse 3, 4, and 5, we see at least four valid reasons we should bless His name and we should praise the Lord. Notice, he says in verse 3, praise the Lord for or because of the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. There is none good but one, and that is God. There is none good but God. He's too wise to do wrong. He's too holy to make a mistake. There is none good but our gracious and holy God. And all that He does, it is good. It is good. Whatever He does is good. God alone is the author and source of all goodness. He's the only thing that is holy and good. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? Comes from God. Comes from above. He does all that He does is right and good. As the Scripture says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He does. Absolutely and always in every aspect of our being. The second reason he said, not only is the Lord good and sing praises to His name, for His name is pleasant. His name is pleasant. His name, His character, all of His attributes are pleasant. They're sweet and they're delightful to think upon. To you who believe, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious, precious. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's altogether lovely. His name is pleasant. His name is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is wonderful. It's pleasant. It's pleasant to speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have you noticed in my preaching and even in my casual conversation, I never refer to the Lord as just Jesus. Now, we sing that all the time because our songs are written that way, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is pleasant. Everything about His character, all of His holy attributes, everything about Him is pleasant. There's nothing unpleasant about Him. Not to the believer. Not to those who love the Lord. And we love Him because He first loved us. And then, He gives another reason the Lord is good. sing praises unto his name. God's given him a name which is above every name, and his name is pleasant. And then in verse 4, the third reason he gives is this: for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself. Now, why would he choose Jacob? Jacob was a cheat, a rascal, a sinner, a guilty man. Why would God, it pleased God to choose Jacob and pass by Esau? It pleased him to do so. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself. And you remember what he did to Jacob? He gave him the name of Israel. You remember God changed his name? He says, your name's going to be called, you are Jacob. What's your name? I'm Jacob. God said, now I'm going to make you an Israel. Prince of God. Favored with God. For and Israel for his peculiar treasure. The Lord's people he hath chosen are the Lord's special chosen people. We're to praise the Lord because the Lord hath chosen us unto salvation. He's chosen us unto salvation. Now, don't turn, but let me just read this to you. But over in Psalm 65, where it says, blessed is a man whom thou choosest, verse 4, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Blessed is the man whom God hath chosen. Chosen unto salvation. Had the Lord not chosen us in that eternal covenant of grace, we never would have believed the gospel. We never would have loved the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in John 15, the Lord said, you didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you to eternal life. And then in verse 5, he says this, another reason to praise the Lord. The Lord is good. His name is pleasant. He's a God of election. Wherever you find the doctrine of election, you find the doctrine of praising the Lord. For example, 2 Thessalonians 2, you remember where it said, blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had chosen us unto salvation. Wherever you find the doctrine of election, close by you find the doctrine of praising the Lord. So had he not chosen us, we never would have chosen him. Now, another reason he gives in verse 5 that we should bless the Lord and praise the Lord, honor and worship him. He says, for I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all. Now it says there, small g, gods. He is above all. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's none above the Lord, is there? I mean, he's the greatest. He's the sovereign, almighty God. The Lord is great. And of his greatness, there is no end. He is above all. Now, if you hold your place there, let's look at a couple other Psalms. If you find one, Psalm 145, verse 3. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. It's infinite. You can't describe the greatness of God. It's infinite as his blessed person. In Psalm 147, verse 5, where it says, great is our Lord and of great power. How much power does the Lord have? All power in heaven and earth. His understanding is infinite, like himself. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The Lord is great. The Lord is good. The Lord is sovereign. He is great in salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He is our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us that so great salvation. He is our great Redeemer. Everything about him is great, is it not? Almighty, who have obtained eternal redemption for us. He is our great Mediator. He is our great High Priest, is he not? Seeing that we have a great High Priest, He said, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost, all that come to God by him, seeing he ever lived to make intercession for it. He is our great high priest. He is our great God. He's our great advocate. He gives us so great salvation. Praise ye the Lord, for he is great. That's a good, valid reason, is it not? We desire to praise him for who the Lord our God truly is. And the psalmist said in Psalm 71, there is none like him. We desire to praise him for he is. The only place a sinner will worship is at the throne of the Almighty God. That's the only place a sinner will bow and worship is at the throne of the Almighty God. No true worship going on before in a man that bows to an idol or to a God who wants to and can't. There's no true worship going on there. True worship is found at the throne of the sovereign God. And that's the only place where true worship goes on, is to bow before the throne of God Almighty and praise his name. Now, how great is our God? For I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. Verse 6 now. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven. He does his will in heaven. Now, most people, probably even unbelievers, wouldn't dispute that fact. God has a right to do what he will in heaven. But where the conflict comes in is they will not have this right notion of God that he does according to his will, not only in heaven, but among the earth and in the earth among people. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in the earth. He told us to pray when he taught his disciples to pray, thy will be done in heaven on earth as it is in heaven, right? Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in the earth and in the seas and all deep places, in heaven and hell. God has his way in all things. Whatever he's pleased to do, our God will do. There's no limit, there's no restriction or exception to his absolute sovereign eternal throne. Another psalm that's similar to this, if you hold your place there, find Psalm 115. Psalm 115, look at verse 1. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? David, where is your God? And the answer comes back, verse 3, Psalm 115. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. In heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. Our great God and Savior does as he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases, and he is accountable to no one but himself. He works his sovereign will, his sovereign purpose everywhere, in heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. A God, small g, whose purpose is frustrated, whose will is resisted, whose decrees are altered, is in reality no God at all. It's just a mere idol of man. Now, from this verse, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. Now this question, what does the scriptures teach us that the Lord is pleased to do? Well, first of all, hold your place there, or you don't need to hold your place, but if you'll find 1 Samuel 12:22. We had this in our study in 1 Samuel 12:22. What did it please the Lord to do? Well, it pleased the Lord to make you his people. 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it had pleased the Lord to make you His people. He has the sovereign choice to have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. The Lord our God in His sovereign mercy hath chosen a multitude of guilty sinners from the beginning of the world and determined to save them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a name for that. We call that the Bible doctrine of election. We have a name for that. We call that unconditional election. God has blessed us and chosen us in Christ with all spiritual blessing, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's right. God chose us, and it pleased the Lord to do so. Our Lord refers to it in John 6, verse 37. He says, all that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me. And those that come to me, He said, I will in no wise cast out. He said again, He prayed in John 17, Father, You've given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as those that You have given unto me. Where did the Lord Jesus Christ get those people? God chose those people in Christ before the foundation of the world and gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ, made Him the surety of that covenant, made Him the sacrifice of that covenant, and the Savior of that covenant. So it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to make you His people. What does it please the Lord to do? It pleases the Lord to choose a people unto salvation. It pleased the Lord to do so, to do that. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. We don't make ourselves sheep. We don't put ourselves in the pasture. We are His people because He chose us, and we are the sheep of His hand. Remember, He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and no one can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of His Father's hand. I like being the sheep in His hand, don't you? God's not in our hands. Thank God we're in His hand. We're in His hand. So here's the second thing. What did it please the Lord to do? Now this is familiar to you. You can turn with me if you'd like to, but Isaiah 53, verse 10. What did it please the Lord to do? Remember Isaiah 53:10? It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. When He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity, when the chastisement of our peace was upon Him and with His stripes we're healed, it pleased the Lord, God Almighty, Jehovah the Father, to bruise Him, to punish Him for our sin. Now, we've been studying that in our studies in Luke 22 and Luke 23, how the men hit Him and bruised Him and wounded Him, and it pleased them to do that, to mistreat Him. But it was not what men were doing at the cross that's our hope, is it? It's not the bruises men inflicted upon Him. It is the wrath of God. It pleased God to bruise Him in our room and in our stead as our substitute, as a sacrifice for our sin. He put Him to grief. How did He do that? The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all of His people. And it caused Him grief. Grief. Because of our guilt was laid upon Him. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. For he shall see his seed. That's those chosen. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord, I love this statement, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Whatsoever the Lord does, it prospers. The word sent forth prospers. It pleased the Lord our God to send our Savior in the fullness of time to put away the sin of those chosen people by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that substitution. And the substitute made sacrifice for our sin when He by Himself purged our sin. He sat down on the right hand of God. So it's what God was doing at the cross. That's our hope. Not what men were doing. It pleased God to bruise him, and in our room and in our stead. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a general atonement. It was a particular, definite atonement, effectual only for the elect of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was bruised for His covenant people, His covenant sheep. He bought the church with His own blood, Acts 20, 28. The Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the sheep of His hand and the people of His pasture. He said, the messenger from heaven said, call His name Jesus, which means Savior, for He shall save His people from their sin. He is the Savior who really saves. He didn't attempt to put away sin. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He didn't attempt to save His people and redeem His people. He redeemed them. He saved them. He justified them with His blood. No one for whom the Lord Jesus Christ justified will ever perish because He put away their sin. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now here's the third one. Find Colossians, the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Here's the third thing it pleased the Lord to do. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. It pleased who? It pleased the Father. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated in your and enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Now, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. It pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. He's God Almighty. He never stopped being God when He was manifested in the flesh. It pleased the Lord our God that all fullness of every spiritual blessing would be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember from John chapter 1, of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. The only reason that God is gracious to us is because of His grace. Grace for grace. That's the reason for grace. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. You see, in Him dwells all fullness, and we are complete in Him. I like that word complete, don't you? Perfectly justified in the sight of God Almighty. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Now, here's the fourth one. And if you'll turn over here to this is going to be real familiar to you because we've been studying this and found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You remember this verse. I know you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God. What did it please God to do? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. You would not know anything about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, or what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, nor how He saved sinners, except it pleased God through preaching of the gospel, God sending forth His servant to tell you the truth of salvation by the grace of God. And God has ordained that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we make much of teaching and preaching the word. Of His own will, God begat He us with the word of truth. Being born again, Peter said, not being born again with a corruptible seed, but with an incorruptible word of God. Born again by the incorruptible word of God. We're born the first time with that seed of corruption, right? We're born the second time with that incorruptible word of God that lives and abides forever. Now, back where we started, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. What did it please the Lord to do? Verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. When will a sinner be saved? When it pleases God. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto God. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When will a sinner be saved? When it pleases God. Not when he chooses to turn over a new leaf. Not when he gives God the consent or permission. It's when it pleases God to save sinners. Salvation is by the free and sovereign grace of God, not by the will of man, which is totally depraved. It's not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. What does he do by his grace when he calls to reveal his Son in me? You see, it takes God to reveal God and to show us the Lord Jesus Christ, to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, dear Son. Thanks be unto God, our great God and Savior, who is pleased to save sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is that unspeakable gift of God. He is the unsearchable riches of God. Those who have seen His glory love to praise Him and to bless His name. As David said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. What did it please the Lord to do? Well, that's a good outline. That's a good outline. And that's answering that question from the Word of God.